Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. It's no coincidence that our celebration of All Saints' Day today lines up with our review of the Small Catechism, specifically with the address of the Lord's Prayer and the first petition of the Lord's Prayer. I lined it up this way on purpose because the connections are so beautiful. Jesus teaches us in the Lord's Prayer to address His Heavenly Father as our Father in heaven. Now, to whom is He speaking? Not to all humanity. The Lord's Prayer hasn't been given to everyone to pray. Well, anyone can read it or hear it. Anyone could say the words. But to pray it, in truth, that only belongs to those who have been given the right to become children of God, who have believed in the name of the Father's only begotten Son. Jesus taught this prayer, as you heard this evening, to His disciples. It's part of the Sermon on the Mount, not the beginning part that you heard this evening, but a little later. He teaches this prayer to His disciples, to the baptized, to believers. In other words, He taught it to His saints on earth. What are the saints on earth to believe when Jesus teaches us to pray, "Our Father who art in heaven," or "who are in heaven"? With these words, God would invite us to believe that He is our true Father and that we are His true children. That's what believers in Christ are to believe. That for Christ's sake, the eternal Father is now our true Father, and we His true children. Just as John said in the epistle this evening, now we know that we are children of God. We don't deserve to be that or to be called that. It's pure grace for the sake of Christ. And it applied also to Old Testament believers who were taught to call upon the God of Israel as our Father through faith in the coming Messiah, sealed with the blood of the Old Testament. All the saints on earth have learned to call God our Father. Not our earthly Father, but our Father who art in heaven. We earthly fathers do the best we can to imitate His love and fatherly care for our children, but we fall so far short that it's barely worth making the comparison. Still, Jesus used the comparison and wants us to view His Father as our Father and to know that His Father views us as His dear children, as dear to Him as Jesus Himself is. That relationship doesn't end when our bodies die. Our earthly fathers die, or children die. And while we still acknowledge them and love them as our fathers after they die or as our children, our interaction with them is lost until the last day. Not so with our Heavenly Father. When a child of His dies, the relationship and the interaction continue. In fact, we call Him Father who is in heaven, which is precisely where the departed saints live together with the holy angels. They still call Him our Father and are still cared for by Him as His dear children. So that the Our Father of the Lord's Prayer unites the saints on earth with the saints in heaven. Though we can't interact with one another, we do still call upon Our Father together. Now, once we believe that we, as believers in Christ, are God's true children, what is Jesus teaching us to do with these words? He wants us to believe it so that with all boldness and confidence we should ask Him as dear children ask their dear Father. Pray, ask, seek, knock on the door. But only ask if you actually need help. I mean, if you can face this world on your own, by all means do it. If you can provide for yourself without your Heavenly Father sustaining you and prospering you and giving you opportunities to get the things you need, then go for it. If you can handle all the hardships, all the oppression, all the persecution, all the overwhelming force of this world's hatred and injustice, then don't ask your Father for anything. But if you're wise enough to realize that your needs are very great, and if you believe that God is your dear Father and you His dear child, then why wouldn't you ask? And ask often. The saints above no longer have earthly needs, and whether or not they have any heavenly needs that they still need to ask our Father to fulfill, we really don't know how that works. They may well ask Him to help us here below, His earthly children, though we have no reason to believe they can know the specifics of what's going on in any of our lives or on earth at all. Still, we know that the saints above did ask our Father. They did pray to Him while they were here, when their souls were still united with their bodies, and we know that our Father heard their prayers. Some of those prayers are recorded in the Psalms. Others in collects and hymns of the church and in the liturgy itself. When we pray as the saints before us prayed, whether with the exact same words or just with the same thoughts, we are again participating in that great but invisible communion we have with the saints on the other side of this life, who have received the ultimate fulfillment of the seventh and last petition, deliver us from evil, by being admitted to heavenly glory. Well, that too should spur us on to ask Him, our Father, to pray, following in the footsteps of the saints. And the very first thing that our Lord has taught us to ask for in the content of the first petition is this: Hallowed be thy name. May your name be hallowed, sanctified, made holy, dear Father in heaven. It's a perfect petition for a celebration of All Hallows, that is, of all saints, those who have been made perfectly hallowed, holy, not only in their status before God by faith, as we too have, but in their very existence and in their conduct. They no longer sin. They no longer carry around the sinful flesh with all of its weaknesses. The old man has been put to death once and for all for them. They have received already most of the blessings for which Jesus called people blessed in that Sermon on the Mount which you heard this evening, while a few of those blessings await the return of Christ. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven, forever and ever. They are being comforted. They are being filled, never to hunger again for righteousness or for anything. They have obtained the fullest measure of God's mercy. They see God, even as John said, one day we will too. They are called the sons of God, and their reward in heaven is great. Among them, God's name is held as perfectly holy all the time. But what do we mean when we pray, Hallowed be thy name? We ask in this prayer that God's name may be made holy among us also. Well, how is that done? Luther's explanation is short and to the point. It's done in two ways. When God's word is purely taught, and when we as the children of God also lead holy lives according to it. That's how God's name is hallowed, sanctified, made holy. So hallowed be your name or thy name means, first of all, Heavenly Father, help the Christian parents among us to teach your word rightly to their children, that they may know your name rightly, may know you rightly, who you are, what you command, what you promise, what you have done for us, and what you will do. And hallowed be thy name. Help pastors to preach well, to persevere in the true doctrine of your word, that their hearers may know your name rightly. Protect parents and pastors from the lies of the evil one, and grant them a heart of faith and a life that reflects it. Secondly, hallowed be your name means, Heavenly Father, help us Christians who have been baptized into your holy name to lead holy lives on earth, so that those who see us and our behavior don't think poorly of you because of us as we bear your name in the world. You know how God's name is blasphemed in the world, and one of the causes of it is people who bear the name Christian but lead lives that are contrary to God's word. Hallowed be thy name is an earnest prayer to God that we don't fall into open sin, so that our very lives become false teachers about who God is and what it means to believe in him. But we can also think of the saints above when we pray, hallowed be thy name. We can give thanks to God for all the parents and the pastors and teachers who have taught his word rightly, purely, correctly, and who have now finished their race. We can give thanks to God that in spite of their sins, in spite of their weaknesses, in spite of the temptations and the persecutions they faced, the saints above, those who have fallen asleep in faith, did sanctify the name of God, did hallow it through their confession of sins, through their confession of faith for the forgiveness of sins, and through their confession of Christ before the world. We can give thanks to God that they are now among those who sanctify our Father's name perfectly together with the holy angels. Is it strange to think of the dead as you pray the Lord's Prayer? Well, it really shouldn't be, because as Jesus has said, God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. Nor is he the Father of the dead, but the Father of the living. Those who died in faith are actually alive. They're just calling God our Father from a different place, from a place where we can't go yet, but will go eventually by our Father's grace and with his help and protection. So tonight, and whenever we say the Lord's Prayer, let us remember with thanksgiving the whole family of our Father, those below and those above. Hallowed be his name. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.